Begin the current daven, Sechtes Avodah Zarah, Daf Ayin Daled. Begin on the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the next Mishnah, continuing on the theme of the previous Mishnah, but as Rishayim explained, this is different than the previous Mishnah. Although the previous Mishnah was also speaking about, like in this case, one of them is Yain Nesach, that it's Aser, and it's going to make forbidden something else, B'chol Shu, there was talking about with liquids, which is with things regarding giving taste. Our Mishnah is describing what's known as halacha as yavish b'yavish, when there are distinct items and they all mix together, where generally that goes with the halacha of bitul b'rayv, with majorities. Here, regarding these things that are very stringent, as our Gemara would qualify the common denominator of all the items of our Mishnah, that here they're going to be, as the Mishnah tells us, forbidden and make other things forbidden, even in a minute amount. As the Mishnah says, Elo Asur, and these items are prohibited, the Eishrin B'kol Shu, and wherever they get mixed into, whatever the Tarubis is, the mixture, even if they're one in a thousand of the permitted items, it's still not going to nullify the prohibited item, and therefore it's going to make everything prohibited. What are they? Yain Nesach, which is this prohibited wine of libations. Whereas Rashi specifically explains, as Tosis elucidates, it's specifically the way Rashi describes it as a barrel that gets mixed in a thousand of different barrels. Because as the Gemara will qualify, we're not talking about, as the previous Mishnah, when a drop of wine spills into a kosher wine, because we're talking about things that are what's called davish b'minyan, things that are counted and they're considered distinct. That's why they're not batel, together with the fact that they're also Isur Hanah, as the Gemara will qualify. So therefore, it's not just Yain Nesach pouring into kosher wine, it's one barrel of Yain Nesach amongst a thousand barrels of kosher wine. Since you don't know which one it is, they're all going to be Asur. So to Vavedis Kechavim, if there's an image which was served and worshipped as Avodah Zarah, which that image gets mixed through a thousand different images, which are not Avodah Zarah, but you don't know which image is the one that was worshipped, again, they're all going to be prohibited. So to Va'iris Levuvin, which the translation of that is the hide of the heart, which is that the idol worshippers would tear an animal opposite its heart, where they would do it for the purposes of idol worship. They would tear out the heart straight from the animal where the hole was, which that is similar to Zivchei Mesim, which these are sacrifices of idol worship. So therefore, this is something that is also Isur Hanah, as the Gemara said on Daf Chav Tesim and Beis, like Avodah Zarah. And Beshar HaNiskel, or an ox that was stoned because it gored three times and it gets stoned, that's something that's also, as we'll see, Isur Hanah. The Egla Rufa, and it was the decapitated calf, when they find a dead person and they don't know from which city he had come from, so the closest city has to bring Egla Rufa, that Egla also becomes Asur Bahana. The Tzipar Mitzaira, and the birds that the Mitzaira brings, and so to one of the later cases of the Mishnah of Chulin that was slaughtered in the Azar, which is not supposed to be, these are items of Isur Hanah. They prohibited to have any benefit from them, as the Gemara learns these two cases from Kedushin of Nazayin Min Aleph. And Visar Nazar, in the hair of a Nazar, which is also prohibited to have benefit from it, as the Pasuk says in Bamidbar Perek Zayin, V'nosan ala esh asher tacha zebach shlam, you put it on the fire, which is beneath the carbon shlam that's being cooked, where that meaning that a person not allowed to have benefit from it, has to be burnt on that fire. Upetach Hamer, which is the firstborn of the donkey, which is also prohibited to have benefit from it, as long as it wasn't redeemed yet and exchanged for a sheep to give to the kohen, and then he could keep his donkey, but up until then, it's prohibited to have any benefit from it. Ubasa b'chalav, which is a forbidden mixture of a piece of meat that was cooked in milk, which then the meat becomes prohibited if the milk gives a taste to the meat. That's how it becomes basa b'chalav. Now, when that piece of meat, which was cooked in milk, goes and gets mixed up with other kosher pieces of meat, then it prohibits all the other pieces of meat from having benefit, even, as we said in the Mishnah, b'kol shu, even a minute amount, even one in a thousand. Now the reason is because the Tana of our Mishnah holds that basam chalav is not only forbidden to eat and to cook, it's also prohibited to have any benefit from it, which is actually machlekes on Perek Shechitas Chul and Nafkof Tezayin Manal. Now Rashi says that those who learn our Mishnah mistakenly, that they learn when the Mishnah is saying that these items are going to be Asur B'kol Shu, it means that the meat and the milk will prohibit the other one in minute amount. So for example, let's say a drop of milk falls into a pot, or a small piece of meat falls into a huge pot of milchigs, of dairy, that even if it's not going to give flavor, it's going to make it Asur B'kol Shu. And that says, Rashi, that's a mistake. Because the Gemara explains that what items are we talking about in our Mishnah? Things that are called davish b'minyan, that are distinct, a recognizable piece amongst other things, which is counted and never doesn't become batel. Now, if it's as those who want to explain that it's a small piece of meat or a large piece of meat that gets a taste from a small drop of that gets taste from milk, or a drop of milk that falls into a large pot of meat, that small drop of milk is not a davish b'minyan. It's not its own distinct thing. And moreover, we know that wherever you have an Isser in the Torah, if it's a different type, where here there's dairy and this is meat, it only makes the other one prohibited if it gives a taste. And even according to Rav and Shmuel, that they say that it's going to be Aser B'mashu, but when it's Einai Mini, meaning even regarding other Isurim, not like Yayin Nesach, but if it's Einai Mini, where here one's meat and one's dairy, even they agree. And in the entire Perek Shechitas Chulin, the Gemara always says, Basar B'chalav is only Aser B'nais and Tam, why gives a taste? And therefore Rashi says it's not the Mashu of a drop of milk and meat that's going to make it Aser. If it gives a taste and it becomes Basar B'chalav, and then that piece of that cheeseburger that then gets mixed in with other kosher piece of meat, that's the halacha that we're talking about, that it's going to be Isrin, all the other kosher piece of meat B'kosher. Continues the Mishnah, and also Besar Meshtaleach, which is the he-goat that's sent on Yom Kippur to thrown off the cliff, which is known as La'azazel. That's also something that's Aser B'hana. And V'chulin Shenishchetu Ba'azara, regarding unconsecrated animals that were slaughtered in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. Harei Elu Asurin, all these things are prohibited to have any benefit from them. And V'Aser Mekolshu, they make other things prohibited, which generally it's going to be, we go after the laws of the majority. Here not, even if it's 1,000 to 1 of kosher to non-kosher, to this item, it's going to prohibit all those things from benefit. Now the Gemara asks, Tana Maika Chashem, what's the common denominator? What is the Tana of Mishnah counting that he's saying that these things are all common in this area and therefore they're going to be Isa even Makalshu? E Davashib Minyan Kachashab, if he's considering things which are distinct, which Rashi points out, even the hair of a Nazir is something that's sold Beminyan in numbers, because they say how many shearings are going to be per sella and they make sacks out of it, so they're distinct elements. So is it because we're talking about that these things are each unit is distinct, and if it's not going to be butla nullified, but even if it's not, something that's prohibited from having benefit, it's just an isser. And it's something that's distinct, so therefore it cannot become butl. Then listening to Namechatichas Nevela, then they should have counted another item in our Mishnah, pieces of a non-kosher slaughtered animal, where that's also aser, not aser b'hana, but it's isser achila, and it's also a distinct piece of meat. So why didn't they count that? And Yisur HaNokachash, but if our Mishnah is counting things that are prohibited to have benefit from them, then listen to Nama Chametz B'Pesach. It should have mentioned Chametz on Pesach, where although that's not a distinct item, but it's also prohibited from having benefit. So which is the primary element? And whichever one it is, it should have mentioned either Nevela or Chametz on Pesach. So I'm Rabbi Barabia. Vita Metzam Zeh Jibitzch Nafcha. He says, Hai Tana, the Tana of our Mishnah, Tarti Islay. He actually holds you need both variables. If it's something that is counted in its own right, and it's something that's prohibitive and benefit when it has two things working in that direction that make it distinct, one is in its iser, that since it's chashav, since it's distinct, so it's not going to become batal. In contrast to chametz, a small piece of crumb of chametz on Pesach, since it's not normal to count units of crumbs, so that would be batal. And then actually in chametz on Pesach, although it gets mixed into other things that are permitted, that are made out of matzah, you'll just take one piece, throw it to the river, and the rest, you could have benefit from it, you can give it to your dog. And in contrast, by the piece of nevela, even though that is something that is davar shebeminyan, it is distinct, but since it's not an isser hanah, it's not something that's so severe in its isser, so it would be batel b'raiv, and therefore you take one piece, throw it to the dogs, and the rest would be actually permitted to be consumed. So therefore, that's why we didn't count those things. Actually, the Tana was counting both as a Davar Shebeminyan and it's Yisur HaNoah. But the Gemara still asks, for listening to Goizi Perach, why didn't they count the nuts of this place Perach? And so the Vermoni Badon, the pomegranates of this place Badon, where if let's say that these fruits are from Arla, which is from a tree in its first 3 years, or Klai HaKerem, which was planted in the vineyard, where if they get mixed into even 1,000 of kosher ones, all of them should have to be burnt up, because the Davar Shebeminyan, V'Isur HaNoah, they have both variables. They're things that are very distinct, they're very chashuv, so you count each one by units. And it's also things that are prepared to have benefit from it if it's, let's say, Arlo or Klai Kerem. So why weren't those counted in our Mishnah? Says the Gemara, because Hatana Lehasam. Because that we already said those cases in Seyed Zroim in the Mishnah Masechtas Arlo, where they were counted amongst things that will make their taruvas, their mixtures, prohibited, even a minute amount. Which this Mishnah is brought in Masechtas Beya, Masechtas Yevamos, that says, Haro la Arla, whatever is fit to be in the category of Arla will have the halach of Arla, and make everything forbidden. Haro la Klai Kerem, whatever is fit to be considered in the category of prohibited mixture in a vineyard, so it's going to have the halacha. So we already said these cases of Rimayne Baden and the Gezi Perak, so we didn't have to say it in our Mishnah. But the Gemara still asks, but listen to Kikar Shabbala Bayis, Len Chametz B'Pesach, why didn't we say another case in our Mishnah? Loaves of a homeowner, regarding the halacha of chametz on Pesach, where it's a homeowner's loaf, each one is distinct. It's not just generic manufactured in a bakery, so it's davar shebeminyan. And it's also, since it's chametz on Pesach, it's isur hanav. That would have been another good case to say in our Mishnah, that it's aser v'oisim kalshu. Says the Gemara, man shama d'amalei. Who did you hear that said that case? That's Rebbe Kiva. Hatani lehasam. So that actually says over there in that mission that we already said, that it already said, we don't have to say it here, that it says Rebbe Kiva Meisav Afkikar Shabalabais, that not only Geizei Perach and Remaini Baden, he also added on, that's also going to be Aser V'Aisim HaKalshu, is loaves of a homeowner, and therefore we don't have to say it here again, as we said, because it already says over there in the Mishnah, Masech Desarlo. The Mishnah concluded by saying, Hare Elu, that these are things that are Asurin and the Aser HaKalshu. So the Gemara says, "Lemutimah, what's that coming to exclude?" You already started off the Mishnah, "Eilu asurin ma'isim kolshu," and we said those items, and we conclude, "Hare eilu asurin ma'isim kolshu." So what is it, if it's saying "Hare eilu," that this as if it's excluding something else? Says the Gemara, exactly like the Gemara's discussion just previously was. It's lemuute davish beminyan v'lavisrana. It's excluding something that, even though it's distinct and it's usually counted per item, but it's not something that's prohibited from benefit like the nevela. Or it's coming to exclude something that is prohibited from benefit, like chametz and Pesach, but it's not a chashav enough, distinct, to count it on its own. Those are the items that the Mishnah is coming to exclude, and to say that there, it's not going to have this halachic stringency of making whatever mix into usr, even if the ratio is 1,000 of permitted to one of this prohibited item. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing on the theme of Yayin Nesach. Says the Mishnah, Yayin Nesach Shenafel Labar. If there's wine of libations of the idol worshiper falls into a pit, says the Mishnah, kule asa bahana. So now all the wine becomes prohibited from having benefit. That's the Tanakam. He disagrees. He says, yimachar kule la'evikachav. No, you could sell it off. You obviously can't drink it because indeed it's non-kosher wine, but you could sell it and you might drink that one. But in regards to benefit, benefit is only from that actual Yayin Esach. The rest is kosher wine. It's just you don't know which one it is. So sell all the wine to an idol worshiper. Chutz min me Yayin Esach Shabbai, meaning you charge him less. You don't charge him for the Yayin Esach, so you don't benefit from it. And therefore, you won't be stumbling on the benefit of the Yayin Esach. But the rest of the wine is permitted, and therefore you could sell it just minus the amount of the Yayin Esach. Amar Rav, he says, Halacha k'rib shimim gamliel. Halacha fazer k'rib shimim gamliel, that you could sell it. Sans the Yayin Nesach that fell in. But that's only Chavis b'Chavis. Says Rab, but that halacha only applies when one barrel of Yayin Nesach gets mixed into many other kosher barrels of wine. Where then what you'll do is, according to what Rabbi Shimon says, you'll take one barrel, you'll throw it into the river, and the rest will be permitted to have benefit from it. You can't drink it because it might be the Yayin Nesach one, but since you're not having benefit because you're throwing one into the river, and then you'll sell the rest to the non-Jew. Have a lo yayin b'yayin. It says Rab, but no, it doesn't apply if wine gets mixed into wine. Then he says the halacha is not like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel over there. And there, the halacha would be that it's all going to be asa. Shmuel Amar, he disagrees. He says, not for yayin b'yayin. Even when wine mixes in wine, it's all one big vat of wine with kosher wine and the non-kosher yayin nesach wine. Still, you could sell it all to the non-Jew, just minus the amount of the yayin nesach that's inside. Chenom Rabbi Ochanan and B'yichanan, like Shmuel Afiliyayin B'yayin, even if it's wine that's mixed with wine, you could sell it minus the amount. V'chinom Reb Shmuel Bar Nosan, Reb Chanin Afiliyayin B'yayin, V'chinom Reb Nachman, Reb Ravua Afiliyayin B'yayin. Now concludes the Gemara, Reb Nachman, he says, Halach L'maisa, the law to be able to teach that this is what should be done in practice, is that Yayin Nesach, the actual wine of libations that was used in the service of Avodah Zarah, then Yayin B'yayin Aser. Then if that actual wine of libations falls into kosher wine, it's all going to be Aser. Chavis b'chavis, mutter. But if it's a barrel of the Yayin Nesach that gets mixed with kosher barrels of wine, then it's going to be permitted to have benefit from those barrels by selling it off to a non-Jew, except for that one barrel. But if the wine falls into the wine, then we say, no, they're all going to be, it's all going to be prohibited from having benefit. Now, Stam Yayin, although we generally use the term to include all these cases, but Stam Yayin is generic wine from a non-Jew, which we're concerned that it's used for them to get mixed up. But if we know that it wasn't used in the service, it's just the wine of a non-Jew, then Afila Yayin B'Yayin Mutter, then he says that even if the wine of the non-Jew gets mixed into the big barrel of wine of the Jew, it's going to be permitted to have benefit, again, as we said, except for the value of that wine, because there's definitely a certain amount of Yayin Nesach in here that we can't have benefit. But the rest could be sold off to a non-Jew and have benefit, and that is the halacha. Now, as we continue to Beis, the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing on the theme of this halacha of Yayin Nesach. Says the Mishnah, Gas Shal Evan, a wine press made out of stone, Shezav Sa'ivid Kechavim, that they wanted a smooth surface on the stone, so they would cover it with pitch, with some type of a guitar. Now, if this was done through a non-Jew, through an idol worshiper, now what's the problem with the idol worshiper putting on pitch? Is because they would customarily put some wine into the pitch to remove some of the ash, some of the sharp pungency of the pitch, of the tar. So if a non-Jew went and put the pitch all over the stone, it has some yayin nesach inside of it because the non-Jew put in some wine. So what do we do? Because if we're going to keep it as it is, some of that yayin nesach is going to be in this wine press of the Jew. Says the Mishnah Menagva. So what he does is, as the Gemara is going to explain, what does it mean that he dries it? He uses water with ashes to cleanse that stone wine press that's covered with the pitch, which will remove the taste of the wine that's inside of there. And then Vitaira, then it's pure, then it can be used by a Jew. Now let's say Vishal 8. Let's say that wine press is not stone, but rather it's made out of wood, where there it actually requires more tar to be to have utility as a wine press. And since there's more pitch, then it absorbs more wine. So still Rabbi Yemi Yanagav, he says the same as stone, all you have to do is dry it. V'chacham, I remember, they disagree. They say, no, yiklef ez ezefes. There you have to peel off the pitch because that's problematic. There's way too much. This process of niguv is not going to get rid of all the wine that's in there, and it's going to make a problem of yayin nesach. V'shal cheres, if it's made out of earthenware, then afa pisha kolef ez ezefes. And even if you would peel off the pitch that covers the wine press made out of earthenware, still, says the Mishnah, Rezu Asura, that wine press is still going to be prohibited, and which the Gemara assumes right now in the beginning that this opinion is going according to everyone. And the reason is because the earthenware itself, without the pitch, is going to be absorbing the wine that was put into the pitch. It then goes and gets absorbed into the earthenware, which can never be kashered, can never be taken out totally, and those absorptions are going to come out when they use a wine press, and therefore it's problematic. You can't use that wine press. Now, Amar Rabbi qualifies the halacha of our Mishnah. He says, Dafke Zafsa. The halacha was specifically if the non-Jew went and put pitch over the wine press. Avol Darach Ba, but if let's say he just pressed grapes in the Jew's wine press without putting pitch over the wine press, then we don't have to go through this process of niguv, which we're going to explain on the next daf regarding cleaning it with ashes and with water. All you have to do is do what's hadach, you just have to wash it out because it has his yayin nesach, and then you wash it out and that's enough. So the Gemara asks on Rav Pshita, obviously, zafsitanan. The Mishnah said it only in the case of when he covers it with pitch, which that's because the wine's getting stuck over there, so that you have to go through a real more difficult process. But if you just press grapes, yeah, of course, you just wash it out. And that says the Gemara, no, ma'av detema, what would you say? Hu adina fela darach ba? No, that the same halach would apply, even if you just press grapes over there. Pressing grapes is a real rigorous process, and the wine just sits there and gets stuck, and therefore you have to do even this process known as niguv. Now, v'haydik tani zafsas, and then why did the Mishnah pick the case specifically of that the non-Jew went and covered it with pitch, and then when he did that, he put in wine in the pitch, and that's where they said the case of niguv? That's orcha de milsa katani, because that's just the normative thing. You need to get labor, and many times you're going to get a non-Jew, who they're the ones that do this process of putting on the pitch, and then he's going to put in the wine. But yeah, of course it would apply even if a non-Jew would press grapes, but usually it doesn't happen. A Jew's not usually letting a non-Jew do his yayin nesach run in his pit, by his wine press. And therefore, the normative way of getting the wine of a non-Jew is through Zephas, but maybe you would say, through Zephas, maybe you would say that the same thing would apply even to Darach. But Kamash, well, that's a Rebbe's teaching. No, it's only through the process of putting pitch that it really gets stuck, that you need to do Niguv, but if you just press grapes, it's enough just to wash it out. That's one version of Rebbe's qualification. Igadame, that those that say the Amar Rebbe, he said it differently. He said that Davka Zafsa, that specifically only if he put pitch, meaning, but that he didn't also press grapes, that's where it's going to be enough to do this process of niguv to cleanse out the wine that's in the pitch. Avol darach ba, but if let's say the non-Jew went in this wine press that has pitch on it, he went and he pressed grapes, then lo yisagi lo b'niguv. Then actually it won't be even enough with drying it up with this process. Actually, you're going to have to peel off the pitch because the wine gets very absorbed if they're pressing grapes because there's cracks in the pitch and they're pressing grapes on it. That yayin nesach gets really stuck. That wouldn't be enough even to do the process of niguv. That's going to require peeling off the pitch. So the Gemara says, pshita. Obviously, zafsitznan. What's Rava teaching us? The Mishnah only says that if he put it on the pitch. It doesn't say that he also went and pressed grapes. Obviously. That when could you do niguv? With Zephas. But if he stepped in it, then it wouldn't be enough. You would have to, like we said, peel off the pitch. And that's what the Gemara, no, what would you say, who had the nefel of darachba? No, there's a halacha would apply, even if he also presses grapes in it, that would be enough to just do niguf. The Heidik Tani Zav says, so why did it say only if he put the pitch on it? That's Orcha de Milsa Ketani. That's just the normal way how it usually is, where he doesn't usually let the non-Jew press his grapes, and usually the laborers who do this work are non-Jews. Kamash Malan, Davka Zav says, that's what Rav had to teach. No, it's only if he did the pitch. Avo darachba leisagul abeniguf. But if he pressed, then it's not enough with niguf, because then it's going to get stuck inside the cracks in the pitch, and it was pressed in over there, and then you're going to have to actually peel off the whole pitch. As the Gemara says, Kiyahud Asal Kamed Reb Chiya, as is illustrated in the following story where someone came in front of Reb Chiya, Amalei said to him, to the rabbi, Havli Gavr, give me somebody to Dochli Matzartoi that could purify my wine press. I have this wine press from non-Jews. There's problems with non-Jews. If I want to make sure it's kosher, I want to make sure that my product's going to be no problems with kashrus. So Amalei L'Rav, so Reb Chiya said to Rav, Zilbahadei, go with this man. V'chazi, Deloy Metzavchas Alai Be'Medrash. And make sure that they don't scream at me in the Beis HaMedrash, meaning make sure you do it in the most appropriate way of kashrus, that this guy's wine's not going to get lost when they're going to find out there were problems with the kashrus, and then they're going to scream at me that why did I cause him such a loss. So Azal, so Rav went with this person. Chazi Davashia Tvei saw that it was very smooth. So Amma, he said, if it's smooth, so nothing's getting absorbed, for sure it's going to be enough just to do this drying process with just some ashes and water. But as he was walking to and fro, checking out the whole system, the whole production, he saw a crack on the bottom. He saw that in the crack, it was full with wine. Amr, he said, Holy sagi lo benigiv, as we said before, in Aloha, that's not enough for drying it up. El bekilov, here you're going to have to peel off the whole pitch. As we said, because when it's pressed down and this grape that gets stuck in the cracks, that gets way more absorbed. You can't even do niguv. This is what my uncle Reb Chiya told me. Make sure they don't scream in Beis HaMedrash. Had I been hasty and said, look, it's smooth, Negev is going to be good enough, then they would have done a production line and would have found out that this has cracks and all the wine that they made is going to be awesome because of the INS that they did before. It would have caused a whole loss for the production of the kosher product. Tanabon, we're learning the Braisa, continuing on these halachas. Hagas, the wine press, v'hamachas, which is a type of a vessel that they would use to draw the wine from the pit to the barrels, of v'hamashpich, which is the funnel, which all these types of vessels that we're talking about are made out of earthenware, from the fact that the seifa of the Braisa says, but if they're made out of wood or made out of stone, obviously we're talking about now earthenware. Moreover, we're talking about where they're not covered with pitch, because from the fact that the end of the Braisa says, and if they were covered with pitch, so the inference is that the Reisha is talking about that they were not covered with pitch, so they're made out of earthenware, and they're not covered with pitch. These vessels, regarding the wine press, and that are owned by a non-Jew. So, and now a Jew wants to go ahead and buy these products or use these products. So Rebbe Mata Beniguf. Rebbe permits it if you do this drawing process, which later on the Gemara is going to ask, how could you say that? But in our Mishnah we learned that if it's made out of earthenware, everyone agrees that even if you peel off the pitch, it's going to be prohibited. It's forever prohibited if it's made out of earthenware. And here Rebbe's saying that it's permitted if you just do the drawing process. But that the Gemara will address later on. But Chacham Ma'isu and Chacham say, no, it's prohibited. Now, says the Braisa, Moide Rebbe agrees, Bekankanim, by jugs made out of earthenware, although they're not covered with pitch, if they're owned by idol worshippers, Shena Surin, that they're going to be prohibited until you do a kashering process where you fill it with water for a 24-hour period. And every 3 days, you spill it out and you put in new ones, as the Gemara said on the Aflama Gimel Medav. But up until then, the jugs are going to be prohibited. And on that says the Braisa, Mahefresh Bein Zelazeb. But what's the difference between these two cases? They're both the gas, the machatz, and the mashpech of the Evdi Kechavim, which Rebbe says is permitted with Niguv, is earthenware vessels, and still he says it's permitted with niguv. And here Rebbe's saying by these jugs of the idol worshippers that they're also vessels with wine that are made of earthenware. He says that it's going to be usher. What's the difference? And that says the Braisa, because Zeh, when you put the wine into the jugs, machnisoi bikium, it's being put into the jug to stay there for a long time, because that's what a jug is for. You keep the wine for long journeys. And therefore, since it sits there a long time, it really gets very absorbed, and therefore it's no way of getting out the absorptions. Therefore, it's going to be also, unless you do that kashering process of 24 hours for 3 days. V'zeh in machnis v'kim, in contrast, the wine press, or the funnel, or this vessel, it doesn't stay there for a long time. It's just part of the production line, and therefore, since it doesn't sit there, it doesn't get really that much absorbed, and therefore it's going to be enough with this process of niguf. Continues the Braisa. Vishal Eitz, Vishal Evan. And if this wine press or this machatz or this funnel is made out of wood or stone, then the halacha is yinagiv, then you could just dry it up and it's going to be tar, according to everybody, as long as it wasn't covered with pitch. Now, vimhoyu mizufafin, if it was covered with pitch, then asur, and then it's going to be prohibited until you peel off the pitch. Now, that the Gemara asks for my Mishnah contradiction. But for Tanan, we learned our Mishnah that said, Gas shel evin shezav sa'ev dekechavim, regarding a wine press made out of stone that was covered with pitch by a non-Jew. So he said, minagva, you do this drying process, vihitara, and it's going to be tar, it's going to be pure according to everybody. And moreover, according to Rebbe, even if it's made out of wood, he said it's the same as the stone one, that there also it's enough just to do the drying process. On that, the Gemara asks a contradiction here in this Braisa with teaching that even if it's made out of stone, which is from the least absorbent, the Braisa said that everyone's going to hold that it was covered with pitch, it's going to be aser. So you have a contradiction regarding that of stone according to everybody, because here it's saying that everyone holds if it's covered with stone, if it's stone and covered with pitch, it's going to be prohibited, in contrast with the Mishnah that it said all you have to do is niguv. And then regarding the one made out of wood, you have a contradiction with Rebbe, because here it's saying that if it's made out of wood, it's going to be aser if it's covered with pitch. And then the Mishnah, Rebbe said that no, wood too, all you have to do is niguv process. So that answers the Gemara, masnitin delay darachba. Our Mishnah is talking about where, yeah, it's the same type of case, but it wasn't pressed afterwards, grapes in that wine press. So therefore, when it's made out of stone, everyone holds it's enough just to do the drying process. And so too, if it's made out of wood, according to Rebbe, it's enough also there to do niguv. In contrast, Braisa the Darachba, as we mentioned this element before, in the Braisa's Toma that additionally they went and they pressed the grapes over there. So therefore, even if it's made out of stone, you're going to have to peel off the pitch. And for sure, by the wood, that you're going to have to peel off the pitch, because that really pushes it into the wine press, and then it really gets stuck over there, and then it's not going to be enough just to do niguv, and therefore you're going to have to peel it off. Now, Amamah, the Gemara continues asking on this braisa. Tanya, the braisa said, Hagas v'amachatz v'amashpich shel ev dekechavim, regarding the wine press, or this vessel that's used to draw out from the pit into the barrel, or this funnel of the idol worshippers. So the braisa said, Rebbe matar ben niguv, Rebbe permits this to be kashered with drying it out, since they're not covered in pitch, so it doesn't get so absorbed. The Chacham say, no, it's still going to be forbidden. Now that is the Gemara contradiction. But we learned in our Mishnah that said, Shalcheres, the Mishnah concluded by saying, if it's made out of earthenware, Ava Pisha Kolavas Azephas, even if they peel off the pitch, Harezu Asura, it's going to be forbidden. Obviously, see, even according to Rebbe, that it's because the earthenware itself sucks in the Yayin Nesach, and it's not enough with drying it out. Even if it wasn't pressed, for sure over here in the Braisa, we were saying that Toma, where it's pressed, for sure that the halach is going to be that it should be aser. But yet Rebbe says it's permitted with Nikuv. On that Amarava, Rebbe says, Sefer the Masnit Nason Rabbanan. The end of our Mishnah, actually, not like we had thought, is only going according to Rabbanan. And that's what the Rabbanan say to Rebbe. If it's made out of stone, if it wasn't pressed, as we explained, the halach of our Mishnah, unlike the Braisa, then it's enough just to do Nikuv. But if it's made out of wood, then you're going to have to peel off the pitch. And if it's made out of earthenware, it's going to be totally awesome. That Rebbe held that if it's made out of stone or made out of wood, it's enough just to dry it up. And if it's earthenware, it's enough to peel off the pitch, as is taught in the Braisa, because if it's not covered with pitch, it's actually enough, according to Rebbe, even to just dry it up. So obviously we see that if it's covered with pitch, it's enough just to peel it off, and it's going to be permitted. And therefore there's no contradiction between our Mishnah and the Braisa. Now the Gemara continues and says that there are other ways of kashering and permitting the wine press from the non-Jew. Darish Rava, he expounded that nava, that the wine press, artichu, you could heat it up with hot water, you could make it come to a boil, and that will also kasher it from the elements of the wine of the non-Jew. So to another halacha of Rava, that Rava kiava mishader gulfei laharpanya, when he would send empty jugs to harpanya, sachif lehu apamayu, so he would turn the jugs upside down, where the bottom of the jug was facing upward and the opening of the jug was on the bottom. And the reason why he did this was so that it should be considered a seal within a seal. Because additionally to that, v'chasam lehu abertzayu, he would then tie the sack with a seal, which was facing the bottom of the jug. So therefore, one seal is the opening of the sack, because that has a seal. And additionally, you have to turn it up right side up, which is like another stringency, another security. So that's considered a chesim in a chesim. And the reason why he did this just for a jug that he's sending there is ksavah he held kol davar shemachnis likim, any vessel which is used to as a receptacle to hold things, then afilo, then even if he's not giving into the hands of a non-Jew, only lefisha, only temporarily, still goes to berabon, and the rabbi still decreed that it should have the same stringencies as like wine itself, so that it shouldn't be held there for a long time in the hand of a non-Jew. And if he uses that vessel and it's going to hold it, as we said, it's going to sit there for a while, it's going to make it usser. And therefore he held that the vessel has the same stringencies as the yayin, just like wine, which was unsupervised, becomes usher as yayin nesach. So too, the jugs have the same thing, where the non-Jew could put in his yayin nesach in the jugs, and it could be forbidden because it's going to sit there for a long time, as we said previously, likium, as the jugs are meant for. So therefore he held you have to do a chesim, a tei chesim, like as for wine, you have to go ahead and put it upside down, and then put a seal on the top to make sure that it was not tampered with and used by the non-Jew.